And about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracle of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. God, you're a wonderful God. You allow us to come and worship you. You desire for us to have joy and that we would have passion for you. God, I pray that you will fill us up with that, that you would give us joy and passion so we can live our lives that are pleasing to you. God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. I have no reason in my own self to be standing here holding your word. But yet, by your gracious intent, you for some reason picked me to do that. And God, I pick that up humbly, but also gladly. I pray that you will use my mind, that you will empty my thoughts and fill my mind with your thoughts. Empty my mouth. Fill my mouth with your words. I pray you'll prepare our hearts to hear your word. That you will open our ears, that we will not be dull of hearing, but yet we will listen to what the Spirit has to say to us. So we can be changed, so we leave this place never to be the same again. You're an awesome God. You're awesome. You can change everything in our lives. I pray that you will magnify yourself today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we talked about earlier, we looked at this passage and talked about dullness of hearing. So we're going to talk about today. He comes to this passage and he says, hey, here's your diagnosis. So he's going to give this diagnosis to the church that he's writing to. And he's giving a diagnosis. He says, hey, you guys are hard of hearing, dull of hearing, however you want to say it. And we're going to look at that in three parts. First is that you're dull of hearing. There is a remedy. And then the remedy is to have milk. And then he's going to show us how to drink that milk. All right, so that's the process we're going to go through as we do this. I'm going to try to talk a little bit faster than I normally do, so turn your ears into a 1.5 speed instead of a 1, and we'll see if we can get through this so we can also do Lord's Supper and still get y'all home in time for stew, or the first part of the ball game, whichever one happens to be. All right, so here he comes in this passage. So what's the background for the passage? Well, he starts off the passage and he says, about this, right? He says, about this, about what? Well, obviously, he's talking about something beforehand, and he's talking about Melchizedek. He says, being made perfect, he became the source of an eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated God by God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. All right? And then he says, about this. So, obviously, he's talking about the whole issue with Melchizedek, which he's going to cover a little bit more in detail in chapter 7. But still, he says, we have a lot more to cover. Now, you can almost hear, can't you, whenever he says that? There's so much more to tell you. There's almost this little sigh because he's talking about Melchizedek. Can you hear the sigh? Boy, I wish I could tell you and explain to you. I wish he would have because maybe we'd understand it better, right? All right? But he says, there's so much more I want to tell you. But, right? So there's a link to today's verse. The link is that the sigh in between. I want to teach you more, but yet this is where we are. All right? So we're going to look at some verses here. Let's go ahead to the next one. Click, click, click. Okay, so the key, he's going to give a diagnosis and he's going to ask a question if you have a disease. Now, I want to make sure we understand the disease before we get there. Because as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, he's been aiming to this point. Because if you notice throughout the book of Hebrews, he says some things over and over and over again. And they are very poignant the way he addresses them. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, pay close attention. And then just a little bit later, he says, consider Jesus. He gives a lot of imperatives for what they need to do. Don't harden your heart. Take care. Fear. Be diligent. Hold fast to your condition, your confession. And then he goes through, there's no other book that has direct quotes like Hebrews. And over and over and over he has these quotes. God said, two things in chapter 1, verse 5, then there's one in 6, 7, 8 through 9, 10 through 11, 13, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, verse 12, 2 in chapter 13, verse 13, Chapter 3, verse 7 through 11, verse 15, chapter 4, verse 3, 5, 7, then chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, you have these quotes over and over. He's saying, you people, here it is. I'm saying it for you again. Why does he keep on quoting stuff? Because he's aiming at this part that says you're not listening. Not listening. So that's the diagnosis that he finally gets to here. He says, he says in our passage, he says, since you have become dull of hearing. This is the first time that he says, this is what you have done. He's been telling them imperatives. He's been treating symptoms. But now he comes to the final diagnosis. All right. So he's been treating these symptoms, but he's been talking about a diagnosis. Now, it's very important whenever you have a problem, when you have a disease, when you have an issue, that you don't treat just the symptoms. Right? If we have one veterinarian, you know, you're always looking for what's wrong with the animal, right? Not just how to put a Band-Aid on it. Your kid has a runny nose. Well, you can give them something, but a lot of times that's bad because you're just masking the problem. They present with a fever, so you give them ibuprofen to bring the fever down. However, they have another issue. You always want to go to the source of the problem, all right? So here's a little anecdote about it, right? We don't want to just cover things up, right? He has irritable bowel syndrome. Now, you could have irritable bowel syndrome and just say, well, I'm going to put a screw in this dowel. I'll put a nail in the dowel. I'll level up the dowel. But see, at least he goes to the root of the problem because he doesn't want to have a loose stool. He wants to make sure that his irritable bowel syndrome is fixed. So how does he do it? He replaces the dowel. Always get to the root of the problem. Don't deal. See, there's so many shaking heads here. Michael, Peter, this is a cultural joke. Sorry, I'll have to go through this a little bit later with y'all. All right, so you know, you want to get to the root of the problem. He finally gets to the root of the problem here. All right, so he says, you have dullness. Verse 11, he says, about this we have much to say. And it's hard to explain. Since you become dull of hearing. So let's look at this. Let's figure out what he's talking about here. What is dullness? Dullness. The word is used only one other time in Scripture, and it's in Hebrews. It's a little bit ahead of us. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. He says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. And this is going to be interesting, the way he counterpoises this. So as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, same word, dull, sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So in this passage, he uses the same word again, dullness, sluggish. So we know that the word means to be sluggish, all right, to be slow. But he counterpoises it to two different words, diligence and imitators. Okay, so sometimes it's easier to define something by what it is not. My daughter says, well, what does this word mean? And so the first, you know, whenever you're asked that, a lot of times you say, well, what does this word mean? And you want to give them the same word back. Well, it means that. What does music mean? Well, it's like musical stuff, right? And you can't define it like that. So you try to do something opposite. So he gives us opposites of what sluggish is. He says, be diligent, not sluggish. Be imitators. Imitators of what people are doing, not just watchers, all right? So be an imitator of Christ. Walk with Christ. Christ always said, walk with me, follow me, not sit in the dust, not sit in your tent, not sit in your house. He said, walk. So when he talks about being dull, he's talking about being slow or sluggish. What he's saying is this, promises are coming to the ear, the word of God comes to the ear, but there's no passion for them. Whenever it comes to the ear, it just stops. It doesn't penetrate to the heart. Your phraseology was wonderful a while ago when you said, listen. You can hear, but then cease to listen. Because it doesn't strike anything that you're interested in. Or you think you've heard it over and over again. Someone talks about Jesus, yeah, I got that. Heard Jesus, got Jesus. Don't need anything more about Jesus. And so you become dull because it doesn't strike your chord. He says you've been dull. Now, there's another word. He says dull of hearing. Okay, this word also, likewise, only used one other time. This particular one only used one other time. It's in chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also," talking about the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, "but the word they heard," okay, same word, "the word of hearing," same word, "the word of hearing did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard." All right, so the same hearing, this word of hearing, he exemplifies here in this passage. Now, this is the idea, like you hear something and it never processes to the brain. So, Chloe, Ariel, Shiloh, Hannah, clean up the room. That's all they hear, right? Dinner's ready. They got that. Anybody want chocolate? Boom, all over it. Clean up your room. You know, they just don't get it. So there's a dullness of hearing that happens. He says, "I want you people to understand. I want you to actually receive it, have it vibrate within your brain, and then contact the passion of your heart, and so you will actually act upon it." He says, "That's not what's happening with you. You're hearing it. You're doing the deeds, but there's no passion for it. There's no desire. There's no hunger." He says, "That's what you're lacking." It's like being in the airport and you hear, or maybe you don't even hear it anymore because you're dull of hearing in the airport. "There is no parking in the red zone. The red zone is for drop-off and pick-up only. Please do not park in the red zone." You know, you hear it's over and over and over and over. You don't ever listen to it anymore. They tell you, "Please fasten your seatbelt. This is the way you fasten your seatbelt. You put it in, you click, you blah, 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 blah." Do any of y'all listen to that on the airplane? Nobody listens to it. You're dull of hearing from it. You have no passion for it. But if you were ever in a plane wreck, I bet you'd start wondering exactly how to do all those things. You'd listen the next time. You know, whenever you have a passion for it, you want to hear about it. But he said, you have a dullness of hearing. That's what he says the problem is. Now, the nice thing about the writer, he then goes on and says, there is a remedy. He says, there is a remedy for this. And he develops something for us. He says, "About this I have much to say, but..." Oh, well. I guess I skipped a little bit. Okay, so I'll go back to this. Let me do this, yeah. So he says, you have dullness of hearing. What's this going to cause in your life? You're not going to be able to respond. Jesus said this. He said, therefore, this is after a parable. He said, "Take care how you hear, for whoever has, to him shall be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away." Be careful to hear. Because if you don't hear, things are going to be taken away. But the nice thing is, if you do hear and you do listen, more will be given to you. Grace upon grace is the way Luke says it. Grace upon grace. So if God gives you the grace to hear, He will give you the grace to act. He will give you the grace to hold it. He will give you the grace to expand it. Because He is a giving God. But you have to hear it. You have to listen. You have to have a passion for it. Okay? Now he gives us a remedy. Right, good. He says, here's the problem. You've got dullness of hearing, and so therefore you're a child. Some people say, well, being a child is not a disease. Being a child is a disease if you're like 40 years old. Okay? If you're still a child when you're 30, 40, I think I put 21 up there. Yeah, age of maturity, yeah. So if you're still a child when you're 21, you probably have some sort of disease. So yes, being a child can be a disease. All right, so I want to look at what he says here. He says, you've been a child too long. And here's the remedy. You need milk. Say, well, but I thought that's what he was saying to us, that we don't need anymore. No, you need milk. You just need to use it to grow forward. See, a lot of people look at this passage and say, okay, so if I need to mature, I need steak. No. He says, you don't have teeth yet. See, they're wanting steak. You can tell by what he does in this passage and the passage surrounding it. He's sort of answering a question that they've been asking about. I mean, do you see Melchizedek anywhere else listed in the Bible? No, just in one psalm and then way back in Genesis. They're asking some sort of question. Otherwise, he's pulling stuff up out of thin air. They're wanting some deeper thoughts. See, here's the problem about children. Sometimes they think they're older than what they are. I'm not looking at anybody. Because I'm not talking about anyone here. I'm thinking about my home, all right? So don't think I'm saying anything here. In general, when I was a child, I thought I was bigger than what I was. Whenever I first got the car, I thought I could drive it better than I could, right? When I first came to the age of majority, I thought I could do things that I probably shouldn't have done. You always think that you're better and more mature than what you are. That's what's the problem here. So they thought that, well, if I want to mature, I need steak. Give me steak. No. He said, you never use the milk in the right way. Have any of y'all, well, I guess if you're lactose intolerant, this doesn't count, but do any of y'all just not drink milk anymore? And some, a little bit, okay? What's one of the major things that, as you age, that you need to make sure that you keep on getting for your body? Calcium. You need milk because it helps osteoporosis, right? Women have a little bit of advantage because of all the estrogen too, but men and women, as they age, if you want to prevent osteoporosis, what do? You drink milk. Don't stop drinking the milk. Keep on drinking the milk, but you can also eat other things. But as you grow, drink the milk and use it. Now, whenever you work out, and I haven't asked this question, but there is one person in here that looks like he works out a lot. I don't know. Maybe he's just naturally blessed with things that we don't have. But I'm assuming you work out, right? A little bit? No. Yeah, that'd be you. Everybody else do, except for you. I'm assuming you work out a little bit, right?
Just a little bit.
Now, I've been told... I've been told there is one drink that is the best drink to drink after a workout. What do you drink after workout? Electrolytes, okay. So there's two things that they say that you need. Electrolytes, and then they do the whey protein, and that is milk, a milk byproduct. They say that after the workout, if you want to enhance the residual effect and make a fast recovery, you drink milk. So what do you do with it? Now, what happens if you drink? Because I love milk. If you don't do the workout and you skip the workout, then you just do the milk, then you get this, right? So I'm working out. I am in shape. Round is a shape, so it's okay. All right, so you drink milk, but you work out in the midst of it. Children, man, they can eat anything they want. Why? Because they're active and they're working it out. See what he says here? He says, drink the milk. But be active in it. That last passage said, the last passage of the verse says, make sure that you practice these things, all right? So, got milk? Even Aaron Rodgers drinks milk. Don't give up on the milk. Don't stop the milk. That's not the problem. You can't go to steak until you got milk. But there's a process that we have to go through, all right? Oh, I skipped the baby doll one. I'm sorry. That's why y'all laughed, right? Yeah, okay. So the problem with the problem with being dull in hearing, and I had a cute little phrase there. The problem is that passivity produces perpetual pubescence. That's why I had to write it down. Passivity produces perpetual pubescence. And you can't tell if it's a baby or it's a doll. And a lot of times in Christianity, what you see are dolls. And not real people. And that's what that picture was sort of supposed to... that's an Ann Getty picture. All right, so we need to move forward with our learning. We need to use that milk. Don't forsake the milk. Don't think that you can just have the steak, because if you just eat the steak, if you feed a child too much protein, you know what happens to it? It goes straight through. It doesn't process. If you don't believe this, come and change a diaper with my kid. All right, it just goes straight through. They can't process it. It doesn't work. It just goes through. So same thing with us. A lot of times if we think that we're more mature than what we actually are, we say, hey, I want a piece of steak, but we chew on it, we gnaw on it, it tastes good, but you don't get any growth out of it because you weren't ready for it, because you didn't practice the milk. You didn't have a workout that required the milk. So become mature with milk. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good from evil. So make sure that we use milk. We had a doctor, our first pediatrician, like 9 years ago. His name was Dr. Bubba. Okay? Dr. Bubba. I don't know what his real name was, but everybody called him, Edwards was his last name, Dr. Edwards. But anyway, everybody called him Dr. Bubba. And he was so cool. I mean, he taught us everything about children in like 5 minutes. But it was great. And we were like, he said, now, here's your rule with baby food. We're like, how do you feed the baby? He said, never feed a child any baby food until you have eaten an entire bottle of it. Okay? Yeah, okay. That's the expression I was wanting. Edie gave it to me, right? Okay, so Edie gave me the expression. It's because baby food, how does baby food taste? Ew, right? The spaghetti with turkey? Are you kidding me? That stuff is gross. So why was Dr. Bubba's rule, don't feed the baby anything until you've eaten an entire bottle? Because the stuff is gross. It tastes nasty. The only ones that taste good are like squash and sweet potato. I love me some sweet potato. Sweet potato, carrots, peas. Put a little bit of salt in both of those, but that makes them better. So, you know, we made sure not to give the kids anything unless we ate it first. Because they couldn't process some of that. So we said, well, so when do they need solid food? He said, as soon as they grab a chicken leg and start gnawing on it, then they can have solid food. It's not a time. It's just whenever they happen to grab, when they're ready, is what he was saying. Same thing with the spiritual maturity. How do you know? Whenever you can reach up and grab a chicken leg and start chewing on it. Yourself. Not whenever I give it to you. But when you reach up and you grab off the table a chicken leg with your teeth, you start to chew on it. And you start to experience it yourself. And you go through the chewing. And you go through the swallowing. And you go through the digesting. Instead of, as we do with our child, blending up the food for them. Cooking it, blending it up, and then putting it on the spoon, putting it in their mouth. Okay? Dr. Bubba's words, he didn't realize how spiritually true he was. But he has good spiritual truth there. He says, you have to stay on the milk. Stay on the milk, keep on practicing on the milk until you can reach up and grab your own chicken bone and start chewing on it yourself. All right? So don't try to go forward. Don't say, hey, teach me, until you can grab that chicken bone and you move forward as well. So he says, exercise, practice. Milk is good for growing, but you must practice the milk that you've been given. What milk have you been given? He's been going through this whole passage, right? All 4 chapters so far, and part of chapter 5. Here's our list. Repentance, forgiveness, faith, evangelism, all those things. He says, you need to repent to God, have faith in God, seek forgiveness, and then tell about His Word. Then he turns it around and he tells us the same thing with our people. You need to have repentance towards one another. You need to have forgiveness towards one another. You need to have faith in one another. And you need to be able to share God's Word. This is the milk. There's no reason to reach for a chicken leg until you got this. So even Jesus said this. If you have something against your brother, or if your brother has something against you, whichever way you want to take that, I don't think he cares. If you have something against your brother has something against you, go get it fixed before you come to worship. Go fix it before you come to worship. What's the most important thing that we need to do? Glorify God. But then Jesus says, I don't want you glorifying me until you fix the milk. Fix the milk. Don't come worshiping if this is your problem. He also says it in the passage that the worship team read a while ago. He mentions it in the passage I'm going to read later for the Eucharist. He says, you know, don't do this in an unworthy manner. Same idea. Don't come to worship if you haven't done the milk. So, feasting on God's Word is not, first of all, an intellectual challenge. Don't come to God's Word and figure out what you can learn, because you will fail. That is getting a steak before you're ready. Don't come looking as an intellectual thing. You'll fall. You'll puff up your brain. I can't tell you how many PhDs, you know, you guys notice that, you know, it always says Pastor Hoyt or Hoyt Lovelace. It never say Dr. Lovelace, right? It doesn't say Hoyt Lovelace PhD. I don't put any of that stuff on there because I don't want a moniker out to the side. And we also have a joke. A lot of the guys that put Dr. so-and-so, they're not really a PhD. They're just a D-min anyway, so it's not like they really have a PhD. So, but I can't tell you how many PhDs would choke on a real chicken leg. Because it's an intellectual thing. And it hasn't absorbed into their soul. Feasting on God's Word is not an intellectual challenge. It's not first an intellectual challenge. It is first a spiritual challenge. You must first exercise your spiritual senses to develop a mind of Christ. A mind of Christ. A mind of Christ. A mind of Christ. That's what we're going after. That's what the milk produces within you. So that you can grow in maturity. So you can have the mind of Christ. And if you follow that passage that I'm referencing here in Philippians, he says, who did not care about all the glory that was bestowed upon him, and instead he made himself a man. And he walked on the earth, and he submitted himself to all the things that man has to submit to. Even though he was high and lifted up, he came down low. And then he died on a cross. And even though he scorned the shame of the cross, he still put himself up there on it, and he died. Because at one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have the mind of Christ. That's what we're aiming to. So, what's important about the milk? The way to drink it. Now, how do you drink milk? I asked you a couple weeks ago, how do you eat an Oreo? So the proper question now would be, how do you drink milk? With an Oreo. Right? Now, how do you drink milk? We're going to have a three-step process here to how do you drink milk. Very simple. First, drink the milk. Okay? Drink the milk. Understand about repentance and forgiveness and evangelism and all those things. Listen to God's Word. Read it for yourself. Those three questions that we do at the beginning of the service, in the middle of the service, talk about time. That's not just time for me to walk around and have fun. That's not just time for us to answer three questions about the text. That is so that you specifically can understand how to dig into God's Word for yourself. If I were here long enough, what you would come to realize and what we would develop, because this is what I do, is that after doing that long enough, you start to understand that that's how you develop sermon material. That's how you start teaching. So what I'm wanting you to do in that time is to understand that you guys can preach and teach by asking three simple questions of the text. You don't need... The idea is that you drink the milk, you absorb it, you read the text for yourself, you explore it for yourself, you pull the nutrients out of it, and then you give heed to it, and you apply it to your own heart. If you just hear it, it does nothing. If you heed it, then it changes your life. If you hear it, you become dull. If you heed it, you get a passion. It becomes real and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And you start to be able to use it and have joy with it because it's real. It's not just Jesus, this guy from 2,000 years ago. It is God who dwells within me and empowers me to do everything. The God that spoke light into existence, that named the stars and threw them out into the universe, dwells in me. And I'm going to be afraid of something. Hello? I would fear, man. I would fear a disease, like we were talking earlier. I would fear. No. Not when God is within me. Drink the milk. Take it passionately. Do not be passive with it. Do not sit. Let me diagnose American Christianity. And I can say this. Fat Christians. Buffet Christianity is what I call it. We come, we sit, we listen. You know what, as pastor, you know what pastors hear as the most oft given complaint? You are not feeding me. You're not feeding me, pastor. I'm looking for a church where I can go, where I can be fed. Excuse me, do you have hands? Let me see those fingers. You got a fork? Feed yourself. You come to be fed? I thought this was a brotherhood and a community. I thought this was a place where we encourage each other and we have passion. American Christianity suffers from buffet Christianity mentality. Come and feed me, pastor. I need feed. You don't feed me here, I'm going to go somewhere else and get fed. I need to go somewhere else and get fed. I'm thinking, hey, we need a workout regimen. That's what we need. You know, get away from the table. Let's go out and do something. Don't look at being passive. Be thirsty, but then work it off. Savor the taste, but then go do something. So step two, drink the milk. Step two, savor, swallow, digest, be satisfied. All right, so now milk is not like wine. You're not going to twirl it in your glass or, you know, however else you're going to examine stuff, you know. But have the idea, you know, you're going to savor it. You take it in and really suck the marrow out of it. Yeah, figure of speech. You just enjoy the milk, right? Swallow, digest, be satisfied. What am I talking about? Have joy in what God's Word teaches. Yeah, sometimes it's persecutorial where it says, you are doing this, 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 and we read it and we say, oh, I need to repent from this, 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 and the list gets long, 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 long. And sometimes it's painful. And you say, hey, well, how am I supposed to enjoy that? Because it's sanctifying you. Are you kidding me? How many times how much better are you at something when you never fail at it? Failure is where you learn. If you never made a mistake, you'd never learn anything. I've learned a lot. So make sure that we enjoy it, that we get to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because He doesn't give us stuff that's bad. Taste and see that it's good. You know, David says, cleanse me with a hyssop. You know what a hyssop is? Anybody here know what a hyssop is? Hyssop branch. Okay, think thorn branch. Okay, thorns, and you wrap them up into a knot. How about that? There, we're getting there. Scrub me with a thorn branch. Ooh, yeah. Oh, you missed a spot. Right? It hurts. But David said, scrub me with the hyssop so that I can be clean. Search me. Search within me to find anything that's unrighteous so I can be cleansed. And then he writes, oh, your book is a joy. Your statutes, I marvel at them. They're incredible. You know why they're incredible? See, our perspective is wrong. Our perspective is, he hates me, he hates me, he hates me. No, wrong perspective. Perspective is, he is holy, he is holy, he is holy. And he allows me inside. I mean, can you not savor that? I am wretched. Nasty, disgusting. He's holy, and he allows me to sit with them. It's not about me and having all these nasty things hanging off of me. Yes, that's true. The point is, he's saying, here's the difference between you and I. You're there. I am here. There's a huge wall in between us. Oh, looky there. The wall just moved. Come on and sit on the throne. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Savor that milk. And then, bink, discern good and evil. So as you're discerning good, as you grow, as you're savoring, as you're enjoying, as you're tasting and seeing, discern good and evil and do good. Discern it and then act upon it. Discern it and then act upon it. Remember, it's not just a mental exercise. Discern it and then act upon it. How many decisions do you have to make in every morning? Yeah? How many decisions are there? 1,000? I mean, this morning I had to actually make a decision whether I wanted to get up or not. And I promise you the answer was, I don't. My wife laughed at me this morning because I woke up, alarm went off. I don't even know what time I had it set. Like, I think it was 4:53. I don't know why I picked that number. 4:53, the alarm went off. And she said, I started yelling, where am I? Who? What? I was tired. I had to make a decision to get up. I had to make a decision about this bread. I had a request. Not only is it unleavened, but it's also gluten-free. See, I always make the Eucharist bread. I always make the Lord's Supper bread. Never made it with unleavened. As I was mixing it, I was thinking, they will never know. Because it's different. I'll have to talk to you about that later. It's really different making it with unleavened bread versus regular bread, with regular flour. I had to make a decision. I thought about going, this is stupid. I'm going to make it with regular flour because I know it takes me about 20 minutes and I'm done. You know, I had to make a decision. We make decisions all day long. And discerning, by the way, I did stay with the unleavened. I worked with it, and it's unleavened. I mean, it's gluten-free. So there's decisions all day long that you have to go through, right? All day long. Discernment, 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 discernment. You're sitting next to someone. They don't know anything about Jesus. Start a conversation. You have a cubicle. You're drinking a Coke or a water break or whatever it is. Discern what's going on in their life and speak into it. I don't want to talk to them. I like being in my cubicle. I don't like getting out of my house. I don't like going over to that person. I don't like the person in front of me at the checkout stand. Blah, 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 blah. You're discerning, but you're not acting on it. Oh, the city's lost. And I'll let them go to hell. See, that's discerning without acting upon it. How do you grow maturity? Take the milk, savor it, swallow it, then work with it. To the point where you can discern what is good and evil, and then you act upon it again. Okay? So do good. Choose well. Discern the scripture with its eye on you and not on others. Don't let yourself use the scripture to judge other people. Use it to judge yourself. Remember, we've talked about this before. The multiple thousands of sins that someone commits does not send them to hell. It doesn't matter if they smoke, drink, cuss, do crack, kill people, rape. And it doesn't matter what they do. Those things don't send people to hell. There's one sin that sends somebody to hell, and that's the lack of belief in Jesus Christ. Don't let yourself start judging and say, oh, that person doesn't deserve, that person doesn't need, that person wouldn't listen to. Don't do that. You're discerning badly, and you're acting poorly. Go back to your milk. Okay? So, how do you drink your milk? First you drink it. That means read your scripture for yourself. Savor, swallow, digest, be satisfied. Understand that this is all you need. Allow it to fill you up, to be full with it. Heed what it says. And then work on it to the point where you discern what is good and then act upon that as well. Jesus says 7 times in Revelation the same phrase. He says, for the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you have an ear, you need to hear. And I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about this one. If you have this one, you need to hear what God is saying to you. Really hear. Because he says to the church, this church, when he wrote to the Hebrews, he said, y'all become dull of hearing. You're bored with it. It's not growing within you. Whatever it is, you need to hear what the Spirit is saying and then act upon it. Now as our worship team comes back up, dullness of hearing, yeah, I was going to do that after. Dullness of hearing is the diagnosis that he gives us. All right. How do you grow out of it? By practicing obedience in the word that God has given you. practicing obedience in the word that God has given you. Now, we are doing Lord's Supper directly after this. But I want to make sure that we have time right here, right now, to fix whatever is wrong within you before we take Lord's Supper. Altar is here. If you need to fix something, fix it here at the altar. Your chair is there. You can fix it there. If you need to talk to me, talk to me. Whatever it happens to be, there's nothing special about my words or my ears. But whatever you need to do to grow from milk to solid food, let's take that step now. Okay? God, you're a great God. Thank you for the word that you've shared with us. Thank you for the way you change us. Thank you for this wonderful memorial that we're about to have for, in honor of your body. You're a great God. I pray that we will grow, and I'm saying we, that we will grow out of the childishness, that we would be able to take milk, and that we would grow with you to where we have solid food and we enjoy you because you're good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.